Preach, what an amazing journey it's been. Amen. About 17 years into it. And God is just every year. You know, when we get to the end of a year, it has us reflect on the year before, the year we're going into to the next year. But thinking back, you know, this year and 17 years it's been since I got saved through the Victory Home right there, 905 Atrisco. Amen. And it just keeps on getting better and better and better. And also I want to thank my pastor, Pastor Danny, and of course Sister Barbara for allowing me this awesome privilege to preach here to the congregation. Never count it lightly. Amen. So let's go ahead and jump into the message tonight. Still a whole lot of buzzing up here. Might drive me crazy. Let's see here. All right. Luke chapter 7, we'll begin reading in verse number 11. Give me a loud amen when you get there. Amen. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 11. Let's go ahead and begin reading. Soon afterward, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. Thank you, Anthony. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd followed. And a large crowd from the village was with her. Father, we come before you, Lord. We love and thank you, Lord, for who you are in our lives. And I just pray tonight, God, for this message, Father, that you, that your Holy Spirit would have full control here tonight, that your word would come forth with power and simplicity, God, that every heart, every mind, God, would be open, Lord. And Father, you would meet the needs of your people, God, those that have come in lost and broken, Father, those that have come in empty and dry, Lord, that Father, you would overflow into their lives, God. I pray, Father, for you to, for them to have an encounter with you tonight. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of my message tonight is Just Get Up. Now, I have several stories here of people that are comeback stories. How many like a good comeback story? Come on, somebody. I love the story of a comeback. And I watched the new, anybody see the new Creed? Creed 2, Creed 3, 4, Rocky 17, whatever it was. It was a good movie, right? And I don't see how they have the same story every time. Fighter goes in. Fighter loses. Fighter goes back to the drawing board. Right? He no longer trains in the high-tech gym. Instead, he's out there running on dirt roads and beating up animals and stuff like that, right? Flipping tractor tires. Comes back in, beats the same person that beat him before. And that was an accurate description of all six Rockies and two Creeds. Why? Because everybody loves a comeback story. And you know what? I believe that in Victory Outreach, that all of us have a comeback story. Well, all of us at one time were down and out. Come on, somebody. All of us at one time, we were in the gutter, in jail, prison, wherever, whatever we were doing in the world. But God, with his grace and his mercy, right, with the grace and mercy of God, he allowed us. Not because of how great we are, but because of how great he is. He allowed us to be a lighthouse. Allowed us to be a testimony. Allowed us to be proof of the one and true living God. Allowed us to be the evidence of who God is. That when people look at us, right, it doesn't matter what scientists say or this person says or that person. All they have to do is read your comeback story. All they got to do is read the story. say, oh, there must be a God. There must be, the power of God is real. Because I see it alive and working in these individuals. The comeback story. Many of you have a double comeback story. A triple comeback. Right? Keep coming back. Don't you ever stop coming back. No matter how many times you fall down, don't you ever, ever, ever give up. You better keep on coming back. You know, there's a story of a fighter, a boxer, and he went down 5 times in the same match, in the same boxing fight, 5 times went down. And each time he got knocked down, every time he got knocked down, no matter how many times the ref started to count, how many times the ref said 2, 3, 4, every time this boxer got back up. And at the end of the fight, he went on to win that fight. And what happened is they went to this boxer and they asked him, what gave you the will to keep on getting back up? And he said, it's because I don't fight for me. I fight for them. As he pointed towards his family. He said, I don't fight for me. It's not about me. But it's for them. So don't you ever, don't you dare ever stay down. But you keep on getting back up. Because it's not about you. It's about them. You look at R.H. Macy. I got a few stories, few examples. This gentleman had an entrepreneur in 1843, opened a business, went bankrupt. 15 years later, he started in New York. It's now called Macy's. Steven Spielberg, you know, I'm going to get this right tonight. It's going to happen. Steven Spielberg didn't even get into the college that he wanted to go to. Was denied several times before he eventually secured an internship at Universal Studios. Walt Disney, bankrupt, lost the rights to one of his cartoon characters known as Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. Anybody ever heard of Oswald the Lucky Rabbit? I never heard of Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. Right? Listen to this. Even Mickey Mouse and Snow White were first dismissed by critics until Disney proved them wrong. Do you know what Bill Gates' first company was? It was called Trafodata. Trafodata. Right? It was to give traffic reports to traffic engineers. Guess how much that... No, that failed. Right? Bill Gates went on to Microsoft. Michael Jordan was cut from his varsity basketball team for being too short. I got a quote. Quote says, it's not how many times you get knocked down that count. It's how many times you get back up. Title of tonight's message, Just Get Up. Let's get back to our scripture, Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. Now, real quick, to break down, the village right here, Nain, was a beautiful place. Even the name, Nain, means beauty, lovely, green pastures. It was a place that was beautiful. But here we see that there is a sad story in a beautiful place, right? Verse 12, a funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. See, trials, bad things, accidents, temptations, sin, it doesn't matter where you are, how far you've come, doesn't matter the address you live at, all these things, storms will come your way, right? Sometimes we believe once we get saved that the storms go away, right? That's not the case. Once we get saved, we're filled with the power of God. So we can get through the storms. Right? But that doesn't neglect that the storms are going to happen. That's why the Bible says that we need to put on the full armor of God. Too many Christians walk around in show poles they got for Christmas. Come on, somebody. They got their Christmas chanclas on, right? They have their fuzzy socks on. You know, I thank God for fuzzy socks. Right? You know, when you're younger, you get socks for Christmas. You're like, man, just socks. But now, hey, I'm 37. Socks are expensive, right? I like socks. Come on, somebody. Right? Things happen. Things happen. And the thing is, when things happen, we have to know that God is on our side. Right? That God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that delivered you from your addiction. The same God that brought you out of the last trial. The same God that delivered you from the jail cell or got you that good job. The same God that did all those things before is the same God of yesterday. Will be your God today and will be your God forevermore. Don't you dare think that God's not able, that God's not with you. God is with you. You got to know it. You got to know that God is on your side. See, the young man that died was the widow's only son. She lost everything that she had. Everything she had. You know, it's sometimes when we go through trials and we go through storms or different things, how many know that the devil likes to magnify things? Right? The devil will put a big old magnifying glass on your trial. A big magnifying glass of what you're going through. And you're like, man, how could I ever get over this huge problem? How could I ever get past this huge trial? The Bible says right here that the widow's only son had died. And the problem looked so big. And sometimes our problems look so big. And we start to believe the lies of the enemy. Oh, like, it's too far gone. I'm too far out there. I'm in too deep. It's gone too far. But at the same time, that the devil likes to magnify the problem. How many know that God is always at work? That God is always working. The Bible says that the young man died. I don't know what he died of. Right? He could have died of a number of things. The Bible doesn't say why, or the Bible doesn't say what he died of. But I know why he died. I know the reason he died. Because I can look back through the Bible and I can see the reasons why people died, the reasons why people did. It was because God wanted to do something great. The very trial that you're in, the very circumstance you're going through right now, it might not be because of something so bad. It might be because God wants to make himself so real to you. It might be because God wants to give him all the glory. That he wants people to look at your life. The people that don't believe. He wants everyone around you. He wants your friends and your relatives and your co-workers that know what you're going through. That know the pain and the suffering and the trial and the circumstance and the journey, the hard journey you've been going on, to look at you and say, if they can make it, I know I can make it. There must be a God. That's why she was going through what she was going through. And sometimes we can put ourselves in her place, in the widow's place right here. Right? When you feel like that trial is just so amazingly big. That circumstance is so enormously too giant that there's no way I'll ever get over it. No way I'll ever get through it. Right? Because the devil's holding that magnifying glass. Right? But what happens when God brings you through? You look back. You look back and say, you know what? That wasn't that big. You look back and say, you know what? That wasn't that tough. Right? You look back. I can honestly look back at all the trials and tribulations. And while I was going through them, While I was on the boat, I thought it was sinking. I thought it was the worst trial of my life. But when I looked back, I saw that God was with me. He was with me every step of the way. Every moment I thought I was sinking, He was right there. Every moment I felt like giving up, God was right there. Every moment I felt like I couldn't go one more day, God was right there. God's right there. Sometimes you just gotta get up. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Right? Get up. Right? Look at your trial in the face and say, you know what? I'm not gonna lay down today, but I'm gonna get up. You gotta look at the situation and say, you know, this ain't gonna take me out today. I'm gonna get up. Get my faith up. Right? Get my praise on and make it through. Verse 13, when the Lord saw her, His heart overwhelmed with compassion. Don't cry, He said. And I believe when God sees you and what you're going through, and God observes, because God knows what you're going through. Don't think that God doesn't know, right? God knows you better than you know you. The Bible says that He knows every hair on your head. That even before you were formed in your mother's womb, that God knew you. See, God knows what you're going through. Right? God knows what you're going through. And I believe when God sees you going through what you're going through, that His heart is overwhelmed with compassion. That when He sees you going through that trial, when he's a witness to see you go through that tribulation, I believe that God's heart is overwhelming with compassion. Right? You got to know that God already has a rescue plan in place. Right? You might think you're stranded. There's no hope. I don't know what I'm going to do. Your rescue plan is already in place. You look at Abraham and Jacob. When Abraham was going to sacrifice his only son, God already had a rescue plan in place. Right? All these stories, and then we look at David and Goliath. Right? God put those five smooth stones right by the river. God already had a rescue plan in place. You got to know whatever you're going through, it's not the end of you, but it might just be the beginning of God, who God wants you to be. It might just be the beginning. Some of you, you ain't even started yet with what God wants to do in your life. Woo! He said, he told her, imagine her daughter, her son. She's a widow, right? Her only son is being carried out. Funeral procession. I'll get that word right. Funeral. There's a funeral going out, right? What does he tell her? He tells her, don't cry. Can you imagine? It's like her only son, the trial of her life. Right? That her only son, and he tells her, don't cry. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearer stopped. Young man, he said, I tell you, get up. Then the dead boy sat up. If I get Siobhan to the keyboard player, we're going to need her pretty soon. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearer stopped. Young man, he said, I tell you, get up. Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. He walked over to the coffin. And you know, the boy had been dead. It was the funeral. The boy was in, he was dead. There was no life left in the coffin. There was no life left in the coffin, but Jesus walks up to the coffin, puts his hand on the coffin. And I don't know, maybe you related to the woman earlier, or maybe you relate to the boy in the coffin. Maybe you feel you're in a coffin tonight. Maybe your spiritual life is dead. Maybe you feel like you're all dead inside. Maybe you don't feel the Holy Spirit anymore. Maybe you're having a hard time going to work. Maybe you feel like giving up. I want to let you know something tonight. Don't you dare give up, but get up. It's time to quit giving up and start getting up. What's in the coffin?
What put you in the coffin? Condemnation? What put you in the coffin? Regret? You're in a coffin of sin, a coffin of temptation. What's in the coffin? He comes up to the coffin. He puts his hand on the coffin. And he told whatever dead thing was inside the coffin, whatever thing that what was inside the coffin, I want to ask you tonight, are you inside the coffin? I wonder if some of you might say that you haven't felt the presence of God in a month or 6 months or a year, and you don't even know why you come to church anymore. You're coming out of routine. I want to let you know, you might be in a coffin tonight. You might be in a coffin tonight. I feel the Holy Spirit right now. He's speaking to somebody. It's time to get up. It's time to quit playing games and get up. It's time to quit playing church and get up. Next year is going to be better than this year. I said next year is going to be better. This is your time. This is your year. All you got to do is get up. No matter if you feel like getting up, you got to get up. Yeah, you might be playing games with God right now. It's time to quit playing games. It's time to just get up. Get up out of that seat and say, you know what, God, whatever it is, I'm laying it down. If it's insecurity, if it's condemnation, if it was sin, I was messing around last year. I can't mess around this year because I know that your plan for me, that you have for me, is so much greater. I know that, God, you are able. I know that, God, you have the power to do whatever you want to do, God. Just get up. Sometimes life knocks us down, right? We feel like we're out. We feel like we can't go on. Sometimes we go through a trial. We have little trials and big trials. Sometimes we think our little trials are big trials. Sometimes we go through seasons, and some seasons are harder than other seasons. The season that we're in, winter is one of the hardest seasons there are. It's cold. The weather's bad. And sometimes we get stuck in a winter of our life where there's not a lot of growing. All is just cold and it hurts and we can't go outside and it gets dark sooner and we feel like we're in a wintertime season. But how many know that just like seasons, God changes seasons. No season lasts forever. And even though you might be in a season right now that might have lasted for a long period of time, some of you need to get up out of that season, out of the season that you've been stuck in, the season where you've been doubting yourself, the season where you've been doubting yourself, the season where everybody around you might not think you're going to make it. See, some of you, you got knocked down. The ref has started to count. One, two, all of a sudden fans start leaving the arena. They're like, this is over. This fight is over. We're leaving. Even some of your own friends begin to shake their head and say, I don't think they're going to make it. I don't think they got it in them. But sometimes you just got to close your eyes. And no matter how hard you got hit, you got to close your eyes. And you got to tell yourself, just get up. You got to speak to yourself in your prayer time in the morning when you're facing the biggest trial of your life. You just got to tell yourself, just get up. No matter what, I'm going to just get up. I can't stay on this mat. I can't stay on this canvas. I can't stay on the ground. Can't stay in this coffin. Jesus put his hand on the coffin. He said, get up. What happened to the boy? He sat up. He started talking. The Bible says the dead boy started talking. The dead boy, not the boy that was alive. He said, first I will raise you. You were dead. You were done. But now you're talking. And he said, returned him to his mom. He returned to his mother. I want to ask you a question tonight. How many of you feel like you've been knocked down this year? How many feel like you've been knocked down? Right? They're counting you out right now. You didn't think you were going to make it. I got a word for you. Just get up. It's time to get up. It's time to get up off the mat. Next year is going to be your best year. I believe it. If that's you and say, I've been knocked down this year, but I'm making the decision to get up. I'm making the decision to stand up. Then I want you to step out of your seat. And why? Let's come to the altar. Let's pray.